A new pact being hammered out between the U.S. and Russia would dramatically change both countries' roles in the five-year-long civil war in Syria and lead to nearly unprecedented coordination between Russian and American military and intelligence agencies to take on ISIS and the al-Qaeda branch in Syria, which is fighting the Assad regime. So this new pact being discussed today by Secretary of State John Kerry in Moscow would put the U.S. in the odd position of fighting one of the enemies of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, who the U.S. has called on to step down. Yesterday, President Assad had a rare interview telling NBC's Bill Neely that the U.S. isn't serious about fighting ISIS. And Neely also asked about today's meeting in Moscow.
And you're not worried in the least about Secretary Kerry meeting Vladimir Putin and coming to an understanding in which you may have to leave power?
No, for one reason, because their politics, the Russian politics, is not based on making deals. It's based on values. And that's why you don't see any achievement between them and the American, because different principles.
Well, Josh Rogan has written all about all of this in today's Washington Post. He joins us from Washington, D.C. And Josh, we know you were able to get an advanced copy of this proposal between Russia and the U.S. Assad says they're not going to make any deals, but apparently they have. Talk through some of the points.
Sure. Well, Robin, the first part of this is a pledge by the United States and John Kerry specifically to cooperate with Russia militarily and with intelligence to go after the al-Nusra Front on the ground in Syria.
And that's the al-Qaeda branch, yeah.
That's correct, a group that's largely fighting against the Assad regime but also has the capability, if not the intention, to strike us from abroad. And in exchange, what Kerry is asking the Russians to do is to pressure the Assad regime to stop killing civilians that are not classified as terrorists. And therein lies the rub, because as President Assad clearly stated, he's not feeling any of that pressure. And it's not clear that A, Vladimir Putin will agree to this deal, and B, that he's capable of enforcing it even if he wanted to. For the Obama administration, this sort of represents a last-ditch effort to find some way to work with the Russians against the terrorists and in furtherance of a political transition in Syria. The problem is that many people inside the administration, especially in the State Department, don't believe that this plan has a chance of success and moreover feel that if enacted, it would actually weaken the anti-Assad forces and give Assad potentially a huge benefit and therefore a huge windfall on the battlefield.
Yeah, because al-Nusra Front has been fighting alongside civilians, militants against the president, and in that way has been on the same side as the U.S. What's the rest of the feeling? You mentioned the diplomatic corps is uneasy about this. What about the military?
Well, the Pentagon was opposed to this plan for a totally separate reason. The Pentagon, especially Defense Secretary Ash Carter, believes that Russia presents a much bigger geopolitical threat to the United States and its interests than anything going on in Syria. So by giving Russia something that it's long wanted, military and intelligence cooperation with the United States, this is a concession to Russia. And it also thaws the international isolation that the United States imposed on Russia after its invasion of Ukraine in 2014. So the Pentagon's looking at the entire world map and saying this flawed plan for Syria sacrifices too much. And in the State Department, the feeling is, well, this flawed plan for Syria sacrifices too much in Syria. The people who are really pushing this are the people inside the National Security Council, at the White House, President Obama himself personally, and now Secretary of State John Kerry.
Well, if I got this right, it seems as if one of the concessions, I'm not sure if that's the right word, that Russia is offering is stopping targeting civilians. I mean, is that worth the risk of the deal?
Yes. And again, the Russians haven't agreed to any of this yet. So assuming they do, what they would promise is to only strike the targets that we both agree are terrorists. And that definition of terrorists is in wide dispute. And for the last year or so, ever since the Russians entered the military confrontation in Syria, they've been defining all of the opposition groups as terrorists and refusing to really take our advice one way or the other on which ones are which. For them, it's more about bolstering Assad. There's an offensive going on right now. A lot of these groups on the ground are hard to distinguish. They work together. They live together. So the entire concept that we could get the Russians to strike these groups but not those groups and that we're going to come to some agreement on which groups are which is really difficult, even if they were to agree in the first place.
Yeah, Josh, we have under a minute, so I'm going to put you in a tough position.
Sure.
Why is this so intractable?
Well, the bottom line, there's two things going on. One is that U.S. policy has been pointed in two different directions and really contradicting itself for quite a long time. On the one hand, we have a policy to increase the pressure on Assad by supporting the Syrian opposition. On the other hand, we have a policy of working with the Russians to find a way to coax Assad to the negotiating table. And what has happened is that both of those policies have essentially created a situation where Assad feels empowered, where he's making advances on the ground. The Russians don't feel that they need to sacrifice any of their interests or their positions or their activities. And the war is basically at a stalemate. And so none of these things being discussed have a real chance of changing those basic facts on the ground. And everyone that's really looking at this predicts that the fighting will go on for years to come.
Josh Rogan, columnist for the Global Opinion section of The Washington Post. He also writes about foreign policy and national security, and we will post it at herenow.org. Josh, thank you.
Anytime.